on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football. Hello and welcome to The Sound of Football. Are you right, Terry?
Frighten the life out of me.
Sorry about that.
Stone beautiful. I just love watching you get yourself into the moments and then you just go, and it's beautiful.
You know, you don't become like a nominated podcast without actually like having little things like zoning yourself before the start of a...
It's like method acting, isn't it?
It is, very much.
You know what I've noticed about you is you never come out of this character.
You stay
in this character
I'm
of the time.
I'm permanently stuck in this.
Method podcaster.
Yeah.
Method.
Yeah, everything now, everything in my life is now done in the mode of podcasting.
Is it?
Yeah, it's done that. Now when I phone up the people at the Sky customer service centre, and I say, hello and welcome to my inquiry.
/ complaint.
So, what are you going to do about it?
Over to you.
Yeah, and exactly. And usually the debate does become quite heated.
Does it?
And as ever, there really isn't any resolution.
And of course, calls are recorded, but only for training purposes.
Yes, well, you know.
Voiceover man.
Yes, unfortunately, after 200 episodes, we still do need some training, I think. But hey, we had a lovely time on Monday, didn't we? That's why there wasn't a podcast last
week.
That's
right, because we were out getting drunk.
We were out getting very drunk.
You two were. I was in my bathroom vomiting.
Yeah, we didn't really need to know that.
I think we could have done without knowing that. Yeah. But thanks for sharing it anyway.
That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, listeners do like to know all the details. But yeah, we had a great table, didn't we?
A brilliant table.
Yeah.
Two winners on our table.
Two winners, yeah. Neither of which were us.
Yeah, sadly we weren't among the winners.
No, but we did share their glory.
We certainly did. Yeah. And we got some cracking pictures with their awards to make out for a few moments that we were winners.
Yeah, there is actually one of me wearing it in truth, Nigel Winterburn with the lid of the FA Cup on his head.
Yeah. There's also one of you with a Guardian journalist who will remain nameless pretending to be Jurgen Klopp. You're the one doing your Jurgen Klopp. World famous
Jurgen Klopp
with a Guardian journalist who for the sake of his own modesty,
and probably won't be recognised because I'm actually wearing his glasses.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. Using his glasses.
Yeah. That doesn't really cut it down any because a lot of Guardian journalists do wear glasses.
There were an awful lot of glasses in attendance, weren't there?
They were.
And not just on people's faces.
No.
But it was great. Thanks very much, listeners, for putting us up to it.
And thanks very, very much to the FSF and the general sponsors, William Hill.
And the wonderful work that the FSF do, particularly with the 20s Plenty campaign.
Yes, they do.
So if you're an England fan and you're not an English fan based in England or a British fan based in the UK, then do check out the FSF because they do some fine work. And if you're interested in supporter matters, and in supporter interest, and they do good work. So thanks again to them. And
if you're an international fan, it's always good to have a look there and see what they're doing and see what fan issues are over here.
Yeah, because what's happening here could easily be happening where you are.
Yeah, and also as well, think what they say may not go with what you want. I mean, if you want Premier League teams turning up or at the end of your street, then you know maybe.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of Game 39, then maybe best give the FSF a wide berth because they are totally not.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're not for turning on that.
Absolutely no.
But we did mention the FA Cup. Well, I did just a bit. And today was the draw for the third round. Always an auspicious day, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Yes. Yeah, and it was live on BBC2 and. There was Chapman, you know, the guy who shot John Lennon was there. Mark Chapman.
Mark Chapman.
They let him out for the FA Cup.
He's dead, isn't he? I thought the guy who shot John Lennon was dead.
No, he's not dead. He comes up for parole every year.
He does Match of the Day too, doesn't he?
No, you're thinking of Mark Chapman, not Mark Chapman.
Oh, well, that's a bit confusing, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to be on telly, shouldn't he have a middle initial?
Well, I'm sorry that you're confused, Graham.
I mean, they're not the same person. They don't let him out for the FA Cup draws.
I'm sure I can't be the only person who's
Can we just say here and now that Mark Chapman, who appears on the television, did not shoot John Lennon?
Well, yeah. Who did, then,
as far as we know. We weren't there at the time, but there it is.
Yeah, he probably wasn't even alive then, was he?
He might not have been, no.
More embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah. So, but yeah, that was on at 7 o'clock this evening, and the first name of the out of the hat was the last team left in it in last season.
Is that right?
Yeah, Arsenal. Well, of course, the winners, wasn't it, you see?
Right, no, I didn't realise that they were the first team out of the hat, though.
They were indeed.
Oh, right. Is that how this works?
That's how this works. You see that big long list? We've got the...
That's in order. I thought
and that's in order as they came out of the hat. Oh,
I just thought Arsenal thought it was alphabetical.
Well, and of course, the second team out of the hat was the second to last team in the end,
I guess. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Wow. That draw was totally rigged, wasn't it?
It was totally rigged.
Do you think they finished that in the way? Wasn't this the draw for the final?
Yeah.
Steve Bruce was there, but he got a bit confused. He thought that Hull had been drawn at home. So obviously the script had obviously gone wrong somewhere.
No, that's a second draw. Give him the third draw.
Well, apparently there was a test draw and Arsenal and Hull got drawn out in that as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, really?
Isn't it funny how these things go, isn't it?
Smell conspiracy.
Oh, you do, don't they? It smells nice, doesn't it? I'm going to get some for Christmas.
Oh, I love a bit of conspiracy.
Conspiracy by Ralph Lauren.
Conspiracy. For men.
I like that.
Paranoids.
So there are some great ones down there. It's actually really, really, really given us a bit of a gift this third round draw, because sometimes it can be a bit ho hum, can't it?
When
all the big teams are drawn at home against little teams, and little teams just end up just getting turned over. Mm-hmm. But this time there are some rather tantalising fixtures. You don't actually know what they're actually going to show on telly yet, although it'll probably come out by the time you listen to this podcast. So what's drawn your attention there, Jan?
I think it has to be AFC Wimbledon versus Liverpool.
Ooh, replay of the 1988 Cup Final.
Yeah, which was a cracker.
Ish.
Sort of.
I thought it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, but it's a kind of a replay.
Yeah, it's kind of a replay.
Yeah, I thought you meant it wasn't a kind of a game.
It was MK Dons versus Liverpool.
Yes,
it
of course.
But of course it would be a replay. But
yeah, I think spiritually it's
Oh, you little wind-up merchant. Oh, yeah, yeah. You got all the people are going to be sitting there on their trains and everything, listen to you say things like that and go, Terry, you little imp.
Yeah, they're not going to rise to it.
And just a shout-out for the North East as well. Gateshead have drawn West Bromwich Albion away. And Blyth Spartans, great to see them in there, at home to Birmingham City. So, up the north.
Blyth are well famous, aren't they? Really, really a famous old-fashioned club that go back a very, very long time. And were they not sponsored by Viz for a while? Yeah, I have a funny feeling that they were sponsored by Viz Comic. But it might be another team. I'm pretty certain it's them. We bumped into a Warrington fan on the train, didn't we? When we went for a few beers last week. And Warrington were knocked out by Gateshead because they knocked out Exeter in round one.
They did, yeah.
And I think they were a bit disappointed with their draw, frankly, after having gone to all the trouble of knocking out league opposition. They got Gateshead away, Gateshead being another... Well, Warrington are quite low down in the pyramid, so it would still have seemed like a big draw. But Gateshead, another non-league team, albeit a conference team, that was a bit of a disappointing draw, I think, for them. And they ended up getting knocked out, which is a shame for them. So I do feel a bit bad for that chappie who was on the train back up to Warrington when we bumped into him. But nevertheless, it does, you know, it leads for a very, very tasty away tie against West Brom. That's a good tie, but I think if you're looking at non-league v Premier League, then I hate to say it, but it's got to be Dover v Palace, isn't it?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, go on, you see a bit on that, I think there's another one that's quite interesting. Yeah, Accrington or Yeovil versus Manchester United.
Yeah.
Well, that one will be on the telly, but that's because Man United are always on the telly.
Man United are always on the telly because they're a big... Well, they're always on the telly because they're a big draw. There's lots of Man United fans in the UK and they want to watch them on the telly. So, yes.
Yes.
That is why they'll be on the telly.
Yes.
I'm not sure about Accrington being big giant killers, but Yeovil have claimed a few scalps over the years.
Yeah, they've got a fine tradition. When they were non-league.
They are actually a league club now.
Yeah. So when they were non-league, they were well famous for it. They were always knocking teams out. But since they've become a league club, it's sort of
dull. Hewish Park is level now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it famously is downhill.
It was a big slope on it. But,
yeah, that's right.
It's now level.
I think I remember them beating Fulham 3-0 in a first round of a cup game at the new Huish Park in the early 90s. Mm. Funnily enough, I remember, in fact, the coach, the manager, one of our listeners, John Hartley, will remember this because he's a Yeovil fan. The manager resigned shortly afterwards, if I'm not mistaken. I may have that wrong, but because of the pressure of the job.
Really?
But it just was an unfortunate and unhappy coincidence. Our listener, John Hartley, may know have more information about that, if he's indeed privy to passing it on. It may all be terribly unseemly. But anything with Yeovil was a good one. But obviously Accrington, Stanley, another great name from the north and very famous for that milk ad, of course.
Yes.
against, you know, a home tie against Manchester United. I'll concede that that's probably the most attractive one, although I think that Dover Palace has the biggest potential for upset. Because Dover are a conference club and Palace are a vulnerable, struggling Premier League
side. Yeah, and do you think that Palace will actually take a full team then?
I think that Palace had better take a full side there, otherwise there will be trouble. I don't mind getting knocked out of the third round of the cup, but I do not want to get knocked out of the third round of the cup to a non-league side.
Have you ever seen Palace take on non-league opposition in a real game?
Not in a competitive fixture, I don't believe I have ever seen Palace.
Yeah.
No. I don't remember the last time we played a non-league team in the Cup. It's so long ago that I don't remember when it was.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, I think it would be up there with when we got knocked out by Hartlepool in the early 90s, in the third round, who are obviously not a non-league side, but they were bottom tier, as they are now, but they were bottom tier back then. They had a decent side, as it happens, But we were pretty much where we are now, you know, struggling, rolling in the table, and we got knocked out anyway. Well, hopefully that won't happen from our point of view. But I'm sure from the neutrals' point of view, they would love to see Dover win.
Selfishly mentioning Sunderland, but a bit of a grudge match there, Sunderland against Leeds, the 73 Cup final.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is a classic game. Yeah. It's a classic fixture, and that should be, I mean, it is. I think we're now at the point where we're lamenting Leeds's.
Yeah,
position.
If that was at Elland Road, that would be
an awesome game.
That would be on the telly. That one's not going to be on. But there are so many other.
No, you're right. That would have been an awesome game at Elland Road, because they would have packed that out and it would have been something else.
Yeah, you still won it, so don't worry about it.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about that either.
But they've got a tendency to turn us over, Leeds, and there's a lot of passion in that team still, and especially on the terraces, you might say. Tasty fans.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's even things like even the Bolton versus racism's Wigan Athletic. that's a local derby, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's almost something for almost.
You can always dig something out.
Everything.
There,
I mean, even Chelsea Watford may not appear on the surface to be that big a deal, because it's at Stamford Bridge. But Watford are decent. They've got some handy players, and it's a London derby. There'll be a London-ish derby. There'll be stuff to go on, be getting on with there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly.
There's some goodies. So do you think Arsenal will get through?
They want to. Yeah, I think it's going to be a cracking game against Hull. Hull are actually in that good form at the moment. They're just not winning games, are they? But of course, the FA Cup's always a good thing to sort of like kickstart your season, especially if you go to the Emirates, and you know, even if you put in a good a good draw, and taking back 10 days later. So.
Yeah, sure. Because it's straight after the glut of fixtures around Christmas time as well, isn't it? So if you've picked up maybe 6 points out of that you weren't expecting, or even 3 points out of it, you can go into the FA Cup. With kind of no pressure on, really, can't you?
Well, it does. It comes because the fixtures start played on the 3rd of January, so it really, you don't get a chance to grab your breath.
No, because you play a New Year's Day game, won't you?
Yeah,
on the Thursday,
there's a full
and then they're back in on Saturday.
Yeah, which I think is probably why they're not having a Friday fixture here. I don't think they are. I think they did this time.
I don't see how they could be if they're playing a full fixture list on the Thursday. Then there simply won't be time. There arguably isn't the time.
Yeah,
for,
they must be doing Saturday, Sunday, and possibly even Monday.
We've also got very few either-ors as well. Quite a lot of, because most of the games were decided in the second round, so you haven't got that many either-ors.
Yeah,
you know, like Scunthorpe and Worcester, against Chesterfield. Who are under investigation. An eligible player. I mean, the Sheffield Wednesday have got Manchester United, albeit away. That's a bit of a shame, because, I mean, that would be an interesting... Manchester City, beg your pardon.
Sorry.
Easy mistake to make. But that's, I mean, you know, and that's, you know, without Sergio Aguero, which apparently, you know, is the end of their season, because that big a disaster that he's injured. So I read, anyway, on Twitter. So there's plenty to get. There's plenty of really tasty titles. There's a few... There are managed to find a few sort of like nothing or less than exciting.
Oh, good.
Because you've got to have a few of those in the cup.
I mean, it's easy to find the interesting ones, but what about the really mundane ones? What about the really hopelessly ones? Like, these ones are going to be 32nd on Match of the Day.
Derby Southport. There's one for you.
Southport's non-league opposition. I mean, that's got potential upset, but Derby are really good. Derby should be in the Premier League next season, and they're playing really well. You'd think that they would. Leicester Newcastle doesn't exactly
I think even Newcastle and Leicester fans will be going.
Nigel Pearson versus Alan Pardew.
I think I'll be watching the Liverpool game.
Yeah. but I guess you also have to extend full sympathy to Aston Villa fans who just do not get a break. And if you're looking at that draw, say, come on, give us something juicy. Give us something. Give us even an away
tie
at a lovely ground. And it's just something just even to get the, you know, get us worried. No, Blackpool. Blackpool at home, 0-0. I do feel sorry for Manchester, and not that sorry because they beat us quite recently. Well, but I do feel fairly sorry for them.
They turned a corner now, haven't they? They've got 7 points from 9 since they got rid of Roy Keane.
They're sort of approaching a bend in the road, I would say, rather than turning a corner myself. But Villa fans may disagree.
Yeah, I think though when Villa are approaching a corner, they don't see the guy with a big plate full of custard pies behind it.
The guy's walking across the road with a massive glass sheets.
See, that would work, but
crates full of chickens.
Villa are just too boring to be slapstick. I'm sorry, Villa fans. Just so crushingly dull at the moment. That club needs an injection. I thought maybe when Keane arrived that maybe there would be an injection of colour, but all he's done is really just make them even worse. And now he's gone, that they seem to be getting marginally better. But no, they need some kind of Maverick loudmouth and maybe a you know, maybe a kind of Maverick chairman, you know, someone who makes outrageous statements, you know, a lot. Not Dave Whelan Maverick.
not racist Maverick.
Maverick, is that like a new euphemism for offensive?
Not one who's likely to cause harm and offence.
Yeah.
I just mean someone who's, you know...
A bit of a Maverick, that Dave Whelan, isn't he? A bit of a Maverick, that Nigel Farage, isn't he? A bit of a Maverick, that Oswald Mosley.
Oswald Mosley, what we didn't know about Oswald was he used to be chairman of Aston Villa. That's not true.
Funny if he was an Aston Villa fan. It's the most exciting thing ever happened.
You might need to cut this bit. Don't worry, I will. He's not going to cut
he's that. No, he's not. So the FA Cup, you know, we don't say it starts, but it starts the new year.
Uh-huh.
With quite a good boost to it. I mean, I think the BBC have actually got really lucky, haven't they? With their two Friday night games they've had in the proper rounds. I'm not saying the qualifying rounds are improper, but in the qualifying they've had the Exeter Warrington game, and they've had the Hartlepool Blythe game as well, haven't they? And they've had two rip roaring ties to start off their coverage. I don't think there is going to be a Friday night game, because otherwise the
curse of the BBC Friday night game. It's been. I think that BBC have picked them. In fairness, got to give it to them. They picked them. I think that maybe they may have done a. Be interesting to have seen what ITV would have picked if they had still been transmitting it. You always never get the impression with ITV that to an extent, because they're driven by the old advertising moolah, that you know they're always, you know, maybe looking for, you know, the bigger audience rather than necessarily the upset. Whereas BBC, I think, because they're driven by a license fee payer's money, they can sort of say, well, you know, we can go for what we think will be the upset, which is sort of like the spirit of the cup. And I think on that basis, they maybe they could be congratulated for picking, so far, picking the good ties.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because upsets aren't that good for business, for commercial broadcasters, really. I mean, they like them in the spirit of the game, but really, like, you know, if Man United go out early, they think,
big genuine giant. Yeah, I mean, especially if they get knocked out. I mean, they sort of get excited by when big teams get together in like the early rounds.
Liverpool, Manu in the third round.
Great. I said, well, actually, no, what they mean is. Yeah. Shit, no, we wanted to keep them together for the semi-final so we can get really big rolling on. Yeah, that's right. It's funny, the FA Cup, because it is a kind of thing where when you get to, in these stages, it's like, yeah, we want the upsets. But then a lot of the time you find that your interest drops off if the smaller clubs are sort of like getting into the later stages, because, you know, the people tend to be more interested in the bigger clubs. Yeah. It's my view. Yeah. I think a lot of people.
Especially when you've got like semi-finals at Wembley. and you see huge banks of empty seats there.
Can we just say that we're against that sort of thing? Yeah, Wembley semi-finals are bobbins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully there'll be more NFL games next year, and that will be able to help pay down the Wembley debt, because, you know, unless it's between two London clubs, maybe, because that makes sense because it's in London.
Mm.
But even then, I would still say, you know.
When there are large enough stadia around London to actually cope with that.
So. Yeah, exactly. Emirates should be a semi final venue.
Yeah.
And Stamford Bridge could be a semi final venue. So could the White Hart Lane.
It seems strange now, because now neutral venues are pretty much a thing of the past now, aren't they? I don't know what game is. Would be played at a neutral venue nowadays. There aren't any, are there?
No. I mean,
the League Cup's
always been over two legs in the semi-final, and the FA Cup has always traditionally been, Villa Park.
It was always Villa Park, wasn't
indeed.
It? Was that where the Palace game was?
That's where it all started going wrong.
What you don't get is second replays in the FA Cup that used to go to neutral venues.
That's right. But to answer your question, yes, that Palace semi-final was at Villa Park. And the Man United, the last ever FA Cup semi-final replay was Man U versus Arsenal, and that was Ryan Giggs's, that goal by Ryan Giggs,
back in 1999.
When he beat them all, and then beat them all again. At least that's what it looked like. And scored.
And then
he
showed you how hairy.
And then he showed everyone his manly chest. Yeah. And everybody couldn't cope with it, and that's why they decided to book players.
Yes.
Because they couldn't cope with his manliness.
Yeah. Too much manliness. Yeah.
And you see now after that, you see, that's when should we say footballers who weren't as hirsutely gifted decided that, sod this, I'm just gonna wax everything. I can't compete with that.
Or Portuguese. I don't know.
Look at him. He's
like, something to do with Portugal.
That guy's as hairy as Richard Keys. Look at him. He's
And Sepp Blatter started getting some unwelcome feelings in his men parts, and he decided,
down
with this sort of thing.
I think it was after that he decided to prove his manliness by saying, women footballers, they should wear tight shorts.
It's all linked.
I even like rugby as well.
We join all the dots up.
We're nailing some stuff down here.
Keep listening. Keep listening.
Truth bombs.
You heard it here first.
Those truth bombs keep on ticking. I think we've whetted everyone's appetite for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you've got to wait for the new year, listeners. So be prepared for it, because it's coming straight after New Year's Eve. It really is going to be like once you get over your hangovers, you're going to have to get FA Cup, get your tinfoil FA Cups out.
Yeah.
Mind you, mine's been in storage since the end of August, because that's when the Leaf were knocked out, sadly. Mm. But
it's always next year.
Always next year. You know, it's a very, very sturdy FA Cup.
It is. Well made.
Extra thick cardboard I used on that one.
Yeah. You can see the quality of
that. Never mind the quality, feel the width. Right, well, on that note, I think we'll wrap this one up. Now, next week's going to be our advent calendar.
Is it?
Yeah, it's probably
our last one, isn't it?
This one will probably be the last normal one. We'll have the advent calendar, and then that'll be
Christmas.
So well, from me, Graham Sibley, from Terry Fellman and Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball. Join us for another exciting installment of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you remember last time, you know that Terry won yet again. His debt is looking huge. Terry, you seem to be mulling over your card. You've got a lot of talent in that deck.
I certainly have. Of course, this is for European Football Stars, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, information accurate as of the 30th of March 2012.
Featuring all the great European football stars of the time.
Yeah, well...
And Scott Parker. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I'll hold up my card to the microphone, even though you can't see it.
And I see that it is former McDonald's child star, Scott Parker.
It is indeed. Former McDonald's spokesperson, Scott Parker. So there is nothing here that I can pick that's going to win.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not absolutely sure.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Okay. It's not a good... So I'm just going to... I'm going to go with height.
Height?
I don't even think he's particularly tall.
Right.
Of 175.
Oh. Height of 175. Jan, what's the matter?
What's up, Jan?
What's up, Jan?
Don't tell me you've got a car that's less endowed than Scott Parker.
Lionel Messi. Cap 68. Career goals 257. Trophies 18. Height 169.
What's his first? Is out of interest.
87.
So he wins on every count, with one crucial exception.
Ah.
But however, I suspect the listeners.
However, the listeners have someone else. let's say if you were having your Ballon d'Or nominations, I think all three of these would be pretty much shoo-ins for the shortlist. I have someone called Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, I know he's more than 100.
And he is a lofty 185 centimetres.
So he's
a clear 10 centimetres taller than your Scott Parker. On the 30th of March 2012.
Yes, because they may have shrunk since.
Congratulations, listeners. You picked up the Scott Parker card. And the Lionel Messi card. Join us again next time for some more Sound of Football Top Trumps.
My reign of terror is over.
It is. It's the listeners.
For now.
I can't believe I lost out on that because... Lionel Messi's a short.
I know. I did. I knew it was the right call. I think it was the right call to make.
They're not very tall, South Americans, are they? Which is surprising, I was going to say, because of the amount of red meat they eat. Sorry, are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, Dave. How are you?
I was just going to say, I'm sorry I got here late, but there were so many South Americans in the road that I couldn't get here on time.
Couldn't you just stepped over them?
You've insulted... You could have stepped over them. By your logic. You've insulted all of your many South American friends there.
Yeah, that's
many,
it.
Many, many of them.
Yeah.
I've only got a few South American friends, but they're not very tall. They're not. They're little people.
I think that's how they like to be referred to.
Yeah,
it?
You can't call them. Yes. Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Right. I'm going to switch off now. Look, there you go. There you go. Right. There you go. Done it.
Don't lie.
It's good fun, that one.
Yeah. You maybe.
Oh yeah, we've been waiting for this.
What?
It's the only thing that kept me going through my vomiting spurts.
I'm not saying a word until you hit that button. I'm not saying a word until you hit that button.
Oh, you. You would think I just record everything you say.
I think you're capable of it. I think you're capable of it. Privacy is dead. Privacy is like so 20th century. But there are some things that must remain, and I'm saying nothing until that thing is off.
It's not anything to do with Robbie Savage, is it?